radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. It's getaway day in the NHL as the Nashville Predators and the rest of the league will play one more and then head on off to the All-Star weekend for the Nashville Predators. They will also combine that with the league's bye week that they have following up after All-Star weekend, which will have the Predators off of the ice until the 1st of February, which is a week from Friday. Nashville Predators tonight in Las Vegas to close out the schedule before the All-Star break. Identical records for these two teams, and it's going to be one hell of a matchup on national TV tonight. The Nashville Predators, second place in the Central Division after 51 games played, 29-18-4. That's good for 62 points, 2 points behind the first place Winnipeg Jets, 9 points ahead of third place Minnesota, 10 points ahead of Dallas and Colorado. This Las Vegas Golden Knights team is third in the Pacific Division. Same exact numbers. 51, 29, 18, and 4, 62 points. However, that has Vegas 3 points behind San Jose for second place in the Pacific Division and 9 points behind the Calgary Flames for first place in the Central, or the Pacific Division. The Pacific Division is really taken off in the last month of hockey. At home, the Vegas Golden Knights are 16-5-3, while the Preds bring a road record of 13-9-4. Coming off a win in Colorado, the Nashville Predators look to wrap up the schedule leading into the All-Star break with back-to-back road wins in the Western Conference, keeping the pressure on the Winnipeg Jets, who have played three less games than the Preds, but in points, the Preds right now just one win behind. Keep the pressure on Winnipeg, keep the gap in distance between the third and fourth place teams, and the Nashville Predators should be setting themselves up for a great final 30-game run of the season after their one-week break. This Las Vegas Golden Knights team, this is the second of three meetings between these two teams this season. If you remember back on the 30th of October here in Nashville, it was the Preds with a 4-1 win over Vegas. Hartman had two goals in the game. Arvidsson and Yarncroke also with a goal each. Juuse Saros got the start and was 23 out of 24. They'll meet tonight in Vegas, and then they'll do it again February the 16th in Vegas. This Las Vegas Golden Knights NHL ranks power play is 18th. Their penalty kill is 5th in the league. Goals for 13th at 3.04. Goals against is 5th in the NHL at 2.69. In their last five, a little bit of up and down. On the 10th of January, it was a 3-2 loss versus San Jose. On the 12th, it was a 4-3 overtime win at Chicago, then a 4-1 loss at Winnipeg. It was a 7-3 win in Pittsburgh on the 19th, and their most recent game was Monday, a 4-2 loss versus Minnesota. They won't play again until the same night that the Preds play again, which is February the 1st, and they will find themselves in Carolina. Couple of injuries for this Las Vegas team's Riley Smith on the right wing. He's on IR. Left wing William Carrier on IR, and goaltender Malcolm Subban also on injured reserve. This Nashville Predators team brings in the 29th ranked power play in the NHL. That means just now two spots from bottoming out as the worst overall power play in the entire NHL. The penalty kill is 16th. Goals for is 12th at 3.10. allow goals against is second in the NHL. The Preds climb back up a couple of spots at 2.61. The Predators also dealing with some injuries. Kyle Turris still on injured reserve. We will not even get an update on him until after the All-Star and bye week break. Mika Silomakia on IR. Zach Rinaldo also on injured reserve for this Nashville Predators team. Once they do get back on the ice after the bye week, here's what you'll be looking at. They'll open up the schedule in the final 30 games at Florida on the 1st and then come back home the next day to face off against the Dallas Stars. On the 5th of February, Arizona comes to town. The 7th of February, Dallas again. So on the 2nd and the 7th, the Dallas Stars will be here at Bridgestone Arena. And then on the 9th and the 10th, a back-to-back with St. Louis, the first one on the road, the second one, of course, at Bridgestone Arena. And of course, we have to mention it here right off the top. Congratulations to Nashville Predators head coach Peter Laviolette on his 600th win as a coach in the NHL. 77 of those came with the New York Islanders, 167 with the Carolina Hurricanes, including a Stanley Cup championship, 145 with the Philadelphia Flyers, and 211 regular season victories now with the Nashville Predators. Congratulations, Peter Laviolette, only the second American-born coach to reach 600. He's just a couple of games behind John Tortorella of the Columbus Blue Jackets and only the 20th coach in NHL history to reach the mark of 600 wins in the NHL. Not to mention what he has done by bringing four clubs to the playoffs and improving each of these teams after his arrival, especially noted here with the Nashville Predators. When it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights, statistically, they don't jump off the board at you, but they've got some good scoring across the board. Alex Tuck's got 16 goals and 39 points. Jonathan Marchessault at 17 goals and 35 points. Carlson's got 16. Pacioretty's got 14. And Cody Eakin has 13 goals. This team's power play ranks very low in the league, but they have a lot of players who score goals on the power play. Tuck has 3. Marchessault has 4. Carlson has 5. Smith has 4. This is a dangerous Vegas Golden Knights team, and on any given night, they are capable of putting up quite a bit of scoring. The Nashville Predators welcome back their leading scorer, Ryan Johansson, from a two-game suspension tonight. 49 games played on the season. He's got 8 goals, 34 assists, 42 points, and he'll take over that first line spot at center and will help balance out the lines and make the Nashville Predators feel like a much more even hockey team out there on the ice. Ekholm, second on the team, scoring 50 games played, 6 goals and 31 assists, 37 points. An incredible season up to this point from Matias Ekholm. Josi now with 8 goals and 36 total points. Forsberg's got 18 goals. Arvidsson now leads the team in goals with 19. Bonino with 13. Smith with 14. Colton Sissons sitting down there with 10. Would like to see Hartman. He's been stuck on 9 for a little while. Would like to see him pick things back up, and that would be great because the last time these two teams played, Hartman had 2 of his 9 goals on the season, so I'd love to see him pick it up tonight and get himself another goal. In net, Pekka Rinne now 36 games played on the season, 18-12-3, a 2.47 goals against average, a 9.15 save percentage. Juuse Saros, 20 games played, 11-6-1, 2.67, and a 9.08 save percentage. We can go into the All-Star break secure, knowing that both of the goaltenders are performing at a very high level. Mastrodamus is going to join me in the second period, Felder in the third period, and the Ultimate Predator is going to get you all fired up here before the end of the first period. But first, let's go back and review the game in Colorado just the other night for the Nashville Predators. It was the first game of 2 on the road before the All-Star break after coming off a disappointing 3-game homestand. And for the Preds, it was their second visit of the season out to Denver. Third meeting of the regular season of 4 between these two Central Division teams. At 1:13 into the first period, Pekka Rinne comes up with a big save on Colin Wilson from the circle. He was all alone. Blackwell's going to the box, just his second NHL game, his first NHL penalty. 2 minutes for high sticking. They called it elbowing, but it should have been high sticking. Wrong penalty, right call. One shot on goal for Colorado, and they were kept to the outside. Good engagement early by this Nashville Predators defense to kill off that penalty. 4:49, Pekka Rinne has to make a save on Cole in close. At 4:58, Preds making a mistake. Going back to the box, second time early in this game, Freddie Goudreau, 2 minutes for tripping. Intense pressure from that first unit of the Colorado Avalanche. The Preds are able to kill off the last 45, though, with quite a bit of ease. tees at 11:51. Zadorov crushes Yarncroak in the neutral zone. Watson chases him down, and they're each going to the box for 5 minutes. Good job by Austin Watson sticking up for his teammate. It was a clean hit right there, but Zadorov has been an absolute pain in the ass of the Nashville Predators all season long. Of course, you remember last time these two teams played, PK getting caught on the mic with some hysterical chirps in his direction. 15:45, MacKinnon beats Josi. Josi interferes by spinning and banging skates. It's not a penalty. It's just incidental contact with the feet. Pekka is able to make an easy save off this, but I'm going to tell you something right here. That situation, Roman Josi, that is a good job. It's just enough. You didn't let him go. You didn't give him an open scoring chance. You didn't take a penalty. You were disruptive, and you found a way to take the guy down without getting a penalty. That's an excellent job right there by the captain of the Nashville Predators on defense. His defense, I've called it suspect recently. That was a nice play right there. 16:23. Rene makes a save on a long shot. Barbario rebound is just ripped from the low circle, and Rene is coming up strong again on this one. He's looking good in the first period. 17:14. Rene gets a snow shower from Nieto. Ellis, Ekholm lead the charge, and all of the rest of the Nashville Predators follow. This is emotional buy-in, exactly what I've been calling for from this Nashville Predators team. It all comes out and works out to be even strength after this exchange. 17:47, Pekka Rinne makes a big save on Soderberg from in close, and 19:21, Barry's going to the box. 2 minutes for cross-checking. The Preds actually able to generate some decent pressure in zone time in the limited amount of time before the end of the first period. Shots on goal, 13 for Colorado, 7 for Nashville. Preds largely outplayed in the first period. Pekka Rinne making sure to keep his team in this one. A carryover of 122 on the clean sheet of ice. You'd expect it to be great. It's not. No good scoring chances. That's a return to the 29th-ranked power play in the NHL. 151, Zadorov's going to the box. 2 minutes for kneeing on Forsberg. The Preds are able to get one shot, but there's no traffic in front. As a matter of fact, they even go offsides on the zone entry, and then they try to make a pass and goes off a skate for a turnover. Just overall, a bit of a mess out there, a bit of a disaster out there, and also a new low for the Nashville Predators on the power play. While they're on the power play with the man advantage, Nieto is awarded a penalty shot after Bonino, on a breakaway, clearly lifts the stick from behind. A stick lift, of course, in the NHL is not a penalty. The referee that was looking directly at the play from less than 3 feet away did not make the call. The trailing referee did, however, make the call and awarded Nieto with a penalty shot, which Pekka Rinne stopped easily with the low blocker kick save. This should never have been a penalty shot, but it just indicates how poorly the Nashville Predators' power play is that now they've even given up a penalty shot with the man advantage. At 5:01, the Preds respond. Nick Bonino's got his 13th of the season. The Preds are on the board with a 1-0 lead on the road. Yarncroak intercepted the cross zone clear right in the middle of the zone at the blue line with the skate. Makes the pass to Bonino, and Bonino takes a sweet wrist shot. High snipe. Preds. 1-0 lead. 6:25. Pekka Rinne makes a save on Landeskog. Wraparound attempt and a rebound attempt, and then gets the cover. At 6:35, Victor Arvidsson is going to show you how a wraparound is done. He's picking up his 19th goal of the season. He's hard on the forecheck, picks up the loose puck at full speed, and takes the puck, wraparound, tucks it in. That is nearly impossible for most players to do at that level of speed. It was highly impressive what Victor Arvidsson was able to do to convert on this one, and it gives the Nashville Predators a 2-0 lead in Denver. 7:45, Pekka Rinne makes a big save on Kerfoot. 8:12, Yarncroak's going to the box. 2 minutes for hooking. Pekka Rinne makes a huge save on MacKinnon. Josi and Hamhuis right here. They're clearing bodies after the whistle, and I like it. Pekka Rinne is coming up with a save on Andrew Ghetto as the power play expires, and the Nashville Predators are able to survive another special teams experience against the Colorado Avalanche. At 15:23, Rantanen just slices through Josi and down the slot. Pekka Rinne comes up with an absolutely huge save. This top line for Colorado, I mean, sometimes there's just no stopping them on the rush when they really get going. Nathan MacKinnon might be one of the most frightening players in the NHL to go up against when he has the the puck on his stick. And Rantanen, well, he's no slouch either. 16:43, Kerfoot, he's got his ninth of the season, cutting the Preds' lead to 2-1. He redirects a Sam Girard pass from out high right there at the side of the net. The Avs, they had a great shift going, a lot of pressure, and it just had to break at some point. And Kerfoot gets Colorado on the board. A hell of a pass shot from Girard out high, former Nashville Predators prospect, of course, and he is doing quite well out there in Colorado. At 17:13, Yarncroke, net jam stopped by Varlamov, but then at 17:58, Roman Josi, the captain, playing better defense, emotionally invested, and now being rewarded for that hard work out there with his eighth goal of the season, 3-1 Nashville, after Josi and Watson give and go after Subban starts the play on the breakout. Josi decides to finish this thing off and does an outstanding job of giving the Preds back there 2-goal lead. At 18:31, Compher goes to the box, 2 minutes for hooking. The buzzer goes off again as the team is passing the night away. Situational awareness, fellas. If it's coming down to the end of the period, you've got to throw the puck on the net, regardless of how bad a shot it might be. It at least has to go towards the net. At the end of the second period, Colorado outshooting Nashville 25-18, but the Nashville Predators now maintaining a 3-1 lead going into the third period and a carryover on the power play of 31 seconds. That would generate absolutely nothing. We hit 6:35 in the third. Ekholm sells out to stop a MacKinnon attempt, just enough to make the block right there. And at 7:35, Watson's going to the box, 2 minutes for interference. Pekkarinen has to make another big save on Colin Wilson from the low circle. At 12:59, Varlamov makes a save on Forsberg's wrist shot that could have put this game away. 16:24, Ellis has a shot, and Watson has some sweet rebound jam right here. This leads to a little bit of a scrum, but we move on to the empty net with 3:17 to go, and Ellis is not even hesitating. From behind his own goal line, a desperation play just trying to dump it out in the neutral zone. It finds its way to the empty net. It's his fifth goal of the season, and the Nashville Predators now have a 4-1 lead on the road. At 18:07, Irwin and Calvert, they pick up fighting majors. It was getting spicy out there, and I like to see that between division rivals. The Preds would go on to close this thing out 4-1 in Denver, Colorado, being outshot 36-27. Pekkarinen, absolutely the number one star in this game for the Nashville Predators. He was exceptional out there on the ice. There is absolutely no doubt about it, not only stopping a penalty shot, but the way he performed on close-range, high-danger shots early on in this game, throughout the first period, allowing the Nashville Predators to get a lead and then start to grind this game away, just simply outstanding. It wasn't the best game of the year for this Nashville Predators team. It wasn't the most complete game for the Nashville Predators, but what you saw was great goaltending and the Preds in front of Pekkarinen working hard. They didn't make every single play they wanted to, but they were clearing bodies. They were physically engaged. They were emotionally engaged. And they made just enough plays to get themselves a road victory. That's the kind of Predators team I want to see tonight in Las Vegas. I want to see them close out this All-Star break strong. They've got a great opportunity to keep the pressure on Winnipeg going into the final 30 games of the season. They could find themselves with the same amount of points as Winnipeg going into the All-Star break and could also increase the gap between those third, fourth, fifth place teams in the Central Division, which is now what's going to be the most critical. Make it a two-team race between Winnipeg and Nashville and then try to deal with the Winnipeg Jets. However, you can do that. Got to throw these numbers out at you for the Nashville Predators. When they commit to total team defense, they can shut down the best units in the entire NHL. The first time these two teams met this year, it was no goals, one assist, minus six, seven shots on goal for that first line of Colorado, and the Preds won 4-1. Second time the two teams met, two goals and two assists and a plus three, nine shots on goal. The Preds lost that game to Colorado, and then in this game, no goals, no assists, a minus six, nine shots on goal, and the Preds with a 4-1 victory in Colorado. These two teams will play one more regular season game on the 23rd of February, again in Denver. Could be heading for another seven-game series, though, come spring. The Colorado Avalanche team is very good. They are very top-heavy. If they can get some decent goaltending, they can win on any given night in the NHL, but they are a long way from having a full depth squad that can go out there and compete against some of the best overall teams. But they are on the rise. They are on their way. And even some of those younger players on the third, fourth line, they're going to continue to develop. So be careful about this Colorado Avalanche team over the next couple of seasons. They are definitely going to become a bigger and bigger threat in the Central Division. Identical records tonight. Nashville Predators, Vegas Golden Knights closing out the schedule before the All-Star break. Mastrodamas in the second period, Felder in the third period, and you know who's all fired up to go to Vegas tonight? Well, it is, of course, the Ultimate Predator.
Predaholics, over the last few days, I've been struggling with something in my head. And it's not just that we lost to Winnipeg a few days back and that we bounce back and destroy the Avs. Those are things that in all honesty, should be happening. It's the fact that when we lost to Winnipeg, all of a sudden, the doom and gloom return. The, oh my God, what are we going to do? We lost to Winnipeg returned. The, oh my God, the second series of the playoffs from last year, it's a repeat. We're doomed. There's no way we're going to make it. We got embarrassed on our home ice. And you know what? We did. We got embarrassed on our home ice, and everybody goes into panic mode. And what are we going to do? And what's Poile going to do? And what trade do we need to make? And oh my God, can we please get Wayne Simmonds down here? And it's absolutely baffling to me because it seems to me that people are forgetting, that the Predaholics are forgetting, the Predneck Nation is forgetting that back in October, we won. And we embarrassed them and blanked them and held them scoreless. They're a good team. Perhaps one of the best teams. They are an elite team, I'll go so far as to say. So you know what's going to happen when you face the Winnipeg Jets? You're going to win some and you're going to lose some, but you don't hit the panic mode, because on any given night, an elite team can beat an elite team. And that's what we are as well. We proved it against Colorado. We can bounce back. We can rise up and play a level of hockey heretofore unseen by other teams and come out of nowhere with depth scoring from guys like Nick Bonino, who was one goal away from a hat trick, and from Victor Arvidsson, a superstar in the making, who, by the way, only had one good season. But you don't understand, you don't have to hit the panic button. You don't have to blow it up and just start trading people left and right and, oh, get rid of Fiala. And Yossi's not really a captain. Chill out. We still control our own destiny to a point where almost no team can rise up to where we are. So let me give you a bold prediction heading into the All-Star break and the bye week. We will go into Vegas. We will play our ass off. We will win. We will lose. I think we will win. And we go into the All-Star break. We get collected. We have some fun. We relax. And then we go into the second half of the season where we win some, where we lose some, where the power play is great, where the power play struggles. But in the end, in the playoffs, you will see the Nashville Predators. With a trade or without a trade. With Wayne Simmonds or without Wayne Simmonds. With Kevin Fiala or without Kevin Fiala. But in the bottom line, and I know I say this all the time, but it is the bottom line. This team is a Stanley Cup contender. So sit back, relax, get in your favorite chair, grab your friends, grab your neighbors, grab your friends' neighbors, sit in your favorite chair, grab your favorite drink, cheer your favorite team as we head into the All-Star break and we carry the momentum straight to Lord Stanley's Cup. Smashville, I know you hear me, so holla at your boy. And that, as I said, is the bottom line, because the Ultimate Predator said so.
Hi, this is Pekkarinne of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. Your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia here. I think Ulti is talking directly to me right there. I hear you, dude. Pecorine bringing us back from break. 35 out of 36 in the game in Colorado the other night, and he was simply magnificent. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey, he is, of course, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's a man so far ahead in the future, he's going to tell you everything that's going to happen late night tonight in Vegas on national television. How are you doing today, Mastrodamus?
Charlie, always a good time talking to you, and last game before the All-Star break.
Fantastic game tonight, national television, identical records. We're going to get into those two teams going up against each other here in just a minute, but I want to go back and talk about the victory in Colorado, 4-1 for the Nashville Predators. Pecorine, of course, gets the start, 35 out of 36. Greg, the only goal against was a sick redirect by Kerfoot right at the side of the crease, and an excellent pass by Sam Girard. The Avs had great pressure on that entire shift, and something had to break. So I don't really fault Pecorine on this one. The penalty shot, excellent stop by Pecorine as well. Just talked to me about his overall game the other night. I felt like he was dialed in and tracking the puck about as well as he has in a game all season.
Pecorine won that game the other night in Colorado. Let's not make any mistake about it. Colorado should have won that game 5-3. I mean, the saves that he made in tight against some of their top talent was just simply remarkable. Obviously, the penalty shot against Nieto, you make that save, which, you know, you can call it karma, whatever, because it's obviously a terrible call to make that penalty shot. But I digress. The one I was most impressed with, and we've seen him score this goal on Rene before, was Nathan MacKinnon on his backhand from about 10 feet out. That blocker save that Rene made, He's scored on him. He scored in the playoffs against him like that with a goal like that where you don't expect it coming. But Nathan MacKinnon is some of the best backhanders in the league. Great save on that one. But how many times on the doorstep, guys just skating into about 15 feet away from that, and he's making point-blank saves. Simply sensational job the other day in Colorado by Rene. And he absolutely number one star of the game. And the Preds do not escape with the victory without his performance.
Now, Nathan MacKinnon might be the most frightening player to watch as the opposition when you see him with the puck on his stick. He does more things out there that are impressive than you could even begin to get into and describe. You just have to watch him shift after shift. The penalty shot, you mentioned it, never should have happened. Mastrodamus, a question here. Why is the referee that's looking directly at the play less than 5 feet away not putting his arm up, but the referee trailing the play in the neutral zone is calling a penalty shot when Nick Bonino, and we can see it plain as day on the replays, it was a stick lift, and of course lifting the stick is not a penalty at any level. What it is great back checking and great defense. Mastrodamus, this penalty shot never should have been called, especially if the referee with eyes directly on the play right there next to the net wasn't going to make the call.
Well, Charlie, you and I are old enough to remember the times when there was only one official on the ice and two linesmen. Part of the reason they put two referees in there to see penalties happen away from the puck. This was right there in front of the one referee, and the other official from 150 feet away makes the call. That's something that the NHL may or may not address, honestly. You have to kind of defer to the official who's closest to the play. If he's looking right at it and he sees nothing, or the other official comes by and looks at the other one's like, I was right there, dude. That's not a penalty. They could absolutely discuss it and say it's not a penalty at all, and he can override him and just say, I'm not calling that. It's not a penalty. Just have the face-off and that's it. Something that officials could have gotten together and discussed it and said that's not a penalty, but he deferred to the guy who made the call, and sure enough, there's a penalty shot happening. But something I would like for them to do more often is get together, get your heads together, talk about it, and get the call right.
And it's pretty wild because we've seen them conference together and then change their mind on calls. We've seen it plenty of times in the past. I couldn't understand for the life of me why the refs didn't get together on this one, because one had a perfect view and the other one was completely obscured. And I could understand why he might think it was this or that, but it wasn't. It was actually a great effort by Nick Bonino out there. And we got to talk about Nick Bonino again, because it's becoming one of these superstitious things, Mastrodamus. The audience says every time we talk about Bonino, for better or for worse, something happens that game with Nick Bonino. In this game, a goal assist, also adds 3:37 of shorthanded time on ice, and he was highly effective out there helping bolster the center roster with Ryan Johansson serving the final game of his suspension.
It seems like as soon as we talked about Colton Sisson surpassing Bonino on the depth chart, Nick Bonino starts scoring all over the place. 5 goals in his last 6 games. You don't usually see that from Bonino. I mean, he's got 13 on the season, so half of them almost, coming up in the last couple of weeks on this hot stretch that he's riding. But you know what? you keep putting them out there. You're riding a hot streak. Some shots you wouldn't think would go in, and they're falling in for him. And that's what happens sometimes. Put the puck on net, and it goes in. Good wrist. He just had Varlamov cheating on that one goal that he had. Fully expected a pass back to Yarncroke, who would have had a better angle on it. But Varlamov did not track the puck very well. I think he struggled pretty much all afternoon, giving up a rebounds on shots that you wouldn't expect. And, of course, the Benino goal, the Arvidsson goal, you look back at that one as well. You wouldn't expect that. Let's not take anything away from Arvidsson. It was a fantastic play. But I don't know what Varlamov was doing 2 feet off to the side of his net when Arvidsson was skating in. Took himself completely out of the play. But Benino, though, fantastic job by him playing in all types of situations. On the power play, on the penalty kill. Great minutes done by him.
And look, here's another guy that I have just absolutely dragged as of late, the captain of the team, Roman Josi. He picks up a goal in this one. An excellent time to utilize his offensive capabilities. But what I want to talk about with Roman Josi in this game, he was solid on defense. It had been suspect as of late. He was hard on players. He was physically engaged, and he was working out there, Mastrodamus. And Roman Josi deserves credit for his performance in this game, not just for the goal, but for the overall hard work that he put in out there on the ice. And I'd like to see that duplicated every night that he's out there.
Yeah, it almost seems like some of the guys listen to the show, doesn't it? Every time we call out some guys, and all of a sudden they go out there and perform. Roman Josi, yeah, he didn't play soft out there. You know, like you said, he doesn't get credit for any hits per se, but he's out there engaged with guys, not letting guys get clean shots in front of the net. And overall, the team did give up those quality chances, but they weren't giving up a whole lot of rebounds at least. So Arena didn't have to deal with too many rebounds on net. So Roman Josi, though, playing like a captain the other day in Colorado, we'd like to see more of that from him. Yes, he's got 8 goals on the season. He's 3rd on the team in points. But in his own zone is where I've questioned him, and what you've questioned him is how you play in front of your own net as a captain and as the top defenseman on this team. He's got to be better, and he certainly was the other day in Colorado.
It was just great to see Mastrodamus, because what we've been asking for is a more physical and more emotional buy-in. You saw it early on, and you definitely saw it in one of those critical hockey situations. Everybody knows you don't give a goaltender a snow shower after the whistle. That was a part of gamesmanship right there. You know exactly what was happening. Pekka Rinne was on fire early in that game, and they were going to do what they could to try to throw him off. A little snow shower for some goaltenders, Mastrodamus, that can throw them off, can get them emotionally engaged, can get them frustrated. But the Nashville Predators defense led the charge, and then the rest of the team followed. It was just a big old scrum that ended up with nothing, but it was the physical engagement, the will to get in there, stick up for your goaltender, that calmed everything down very quickly. So what we've been calling for quite some time, it was on display the other night in Colorado, and I truly expect it to be on display again tonight in Vegas.
Lesser goaltender get in his head, or you go after the guy who gives him the snow shower. Pecorino, of course, stays calm and cool. Ekholm and Ellis go over there and immediately defend him with Nieto. Big scrum head. They called Ekholm for cross-checking. I mean, I think they had to call something, I guess. They felt the need to call one on each team because they weren't going to call anything. The arm did not go up when Nieto did it initially. As soon as he got defended, all of a sudden they call one on each side. But sometimes you need a divisional game like that. After the egg they laid against Winnipeg, you get Colorado. You played them last year in the playoffs. It was a physical-type series, as most playoff series are. They don't like each other. That was proven very early on in that game the other day. Would like to see a little bit more of that. Vegas, different, completely different type of team than Colorado, too. So they have to adjust what they do. Vegas, a very balanced offense. They don't have a whole lot of high-end scoring on their roster. Marchessault leads the team with 17 goals on the season, only 5 guys with double-digit goals. So that's something that they will have to address and change their strategy with. But it's going to be Rene, it's going to be Fleury. Great goaltending matchup. Marc-Andre Fleury, very up in season. He's got goals against the save percentage similar to Saros, but he's got 6 shutouts. So he's very hot, or you could beat him early on and get to his head. So expect a very physical game. Balanced scoring by Vegas all the way up and down their lineup. Balanced time on ice as well. Almost nobody averages 20 minutes on ice time for Vegas. So it'll be great to see the Preds go out there, roll 4 lines, and see what they can do to finish off this streak here before the All-Star break.
Very similar the way these two teams try to go about it. They try to roll 4 lines, and they try to skate and bring pressure from every direction. So I'm very excited about this matchup tonight. Very interested. First time these teams have met in quite a while. It was all the way back on October the 30th, the Preds with a 4-1 win. They'll play tonight out in Vegas, and then one more time on the 16th of February out there in Vegas. Mastrodamus, you don't normally see it this time of year, but identical records. identical points, and I think one hell of a hockey game tonight on national TV to close out the schedule before the All-Star break and the bye week. Mastrodamus, I'm going to miss you, my friend. We're going to be off until after the bye week. I cannot believe it. This time of year, not talking pucks for over a week with my buddy Mastrodamus, but it's something we will all have to do. So as the ultimate one said, Mastrodamus, why don't you relax a little, take a deep breath, and we'll catch up again after the All-Star break.
Charlie, sounds like a plan. Let's recharge our batteries and get batting next Friday.
Mastrodamus right there. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's a starting goaltender of Prednek Nation and a man so far in the future. He's told you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena. He's also one of the primary renegades of puck. You heard from the ultimate predator. You've heard from Mastrodamus, and you will hear from the OG of Preds hockey coverage here on Nashville Sports Radio, Brandon Felder, in the third period. I am, of course, your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Thank you so much for listening to Prednek Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. Keep listening to Prednek Nation Radio, or you will be body checked.
Ryan Johansson knows what's up right there. You will be body checked if you don't keep listening to this here fine radio show. This fine radio show is Prednek Nation Radio. I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. You heard from Mastrodamus in the second period, the ultimate predator. He told me to calm down. Told the rest of you to get fired up. And now you'll hear from the OG of hockey coverage here on Nashville Sports Radio on Twitter at Brandon_Felder. Of course, you can find him all season long right here in the third period of Prednek Nation Radio, bringing his brand of analysis and opinions and information to the show. He is, of course, Brandon Felder. And Brandon, it is for the Nashville Predators a great opportunity to close out the schedule before the All-Star break and the bye week. They welcome back their leading scorer into the lineup after a two-game suspension, Ryan Johansson, and this should help give the Preds a boost tonight. One game to go, and then they lock it down for a week, and then a 30-game sprint to the NHL playoffs. Going to be great for the Nashville Predators to have Ryan Johansson back in the lineup tonight.
Well, yeah, obviously, you get a caliber player like him coming back. It's going to be a good boost. It's going to balance your lines back out. That's a big help. But at the same time, you know, you have to look at the competition and know that even though Vegas lost recently against Minnesota, in general, they've been playing much better than they had at the start of the year. They've kind of come back to earth and decided that they do want to be a very good team again. And they've had guys like Pacioretty for them that they had an off-season acquisition of come back up and start being able to play what they expected. So it's not going to be easy, regardless of having Ryan Johansson back. But it is an opportunity for, honestly, for Nashville to get some bad taste out of their mouth. This is a game where not only can you win against a Western Conference opponent that had a great season last season going to the Stanley Cup Final, but you can also, who knows, maybe even, I don't know, score a power play goal and try and get things turned in the right direction so you can leave for the All-Star break and the bye week with positive taste in your mouth.
Brandon, no power play goals for the 29th rated power play in the NHL in Colorado the other night, but in the 4-1 victory we had discussed at great length the other day that shutting down the first line of Colorado is the key to beating the Avalanche on any given night, and in the three meetings this season, that absolutely shows to be true. In the first meeting, no goals and one assist, a -6 and 7 shots on goal. Preds won that game 4-1. Second meeting, first line for Colorado, 2 goals, 2 assists, a +3 and 9 shots on goal. Preds lost that game 3-2. And in this most recent meeting, no goals, no assists, a -6 and 9 shots on goal in the Preds 4-1 victory. This Colorado Avalanche top line is massively impressive, and you can get very wowed by the statistics, but the Nashville Predators went out there and put a commitment to team defense on display. We've seen it before. They did just enough. It wasn't always pretty, and they were outperformed for stretches this game, but they got the job done by committing to total team defense against the best top line in the NHL.
Well, that was, you know, basically the key to the game. You're right in that. It wasn't pretty. I mean, Pecorino was huge the other night, and then, you know, in general, the biggest effort was put into that top line, and it just kind of goes to show that of all the teams in the NHL, I do really feel like Colorado is the most top line heavy. They're the most reliant on their top line. Even some people might argue Dallas, but, you know, they've had such a middling year, that top line, whereas Colorado's top line has just been fantastic through and through. And so if you can find ways to limit them and you can keep them off the scoreboard, you have a really good chance of beating Colorado because their goaltending has been average this season. We saw that pan out the other night for Nashville. So, you know, the game plan was right. It got executed well enough. You know, there's always ways to improve a hockey team. We've known that from last season when the Predators were winning a President's Trophy. There are still ways to improve. But in seasons like this where it's not clicking quite as well, it becomes a little bit more obvious to all of us what are the things to improve. But you do have to give them credit for they executed the game plan of we've got to keep that top line off the board so that we can give the rest of our team a chance to really go out there, score a couple goals, and basically win this game just from not letting their top line score at all.
Brendan, I'm very happy that Barry Trotz, after leaving the Nashville Predators organization, has gone on to have tremendous success, winning a Stanley Cup with Washington and now leading the New York Islanders in a very positive direction just his first season there. But we all know it was time for a change here in Nashville when Barry Trotz was separated from the organization and Peter Laviolette was hired. Now, Peter Laviolette gets his 600th victory the other night as an NHL head coach, second American-born defenseman, American-born coach to get to that milestone, just a couple behind first in John Tortorella, the 20th coach all-time to reach 600 as a milestone. And with four clubs, this is one thing we know as a fact, Brandon. Every time Peter Laviolette takes over a team, they improve. In the regular season, Peter Laviolette in his career, 77 wins with the Islanders. He got them back to the playoffs after they struggled. 167 with Carolina, of course, won a Stanley Cup there. 145 with the Philadelphia Flyers, got them to a Stanley Cup final, and 211 regular season victories as the Nashville Predators head coach, and of course has gotten the Nashville Predators their first ever division title, their first Western Conference championship, their first ever Stanley Cup berth. So Peter Laviolette, 211 wins with the Preds, 600 overall in his career. That's one heck of a milestone for the Nashville Predators bench boss.
It is. I mean, it's really an incredible career, and especially when you consider, you know, there's plenty of coaches out there who just don't get that kind of a tenure in the NHL in general, let alone, you know, with each team that they've coached for. And so, you know, we all talk about the fact that Peter Laviolette is a great motivator and that he has that ability to go into the room and he knows what buttons to push with the guys. We've seen behind the scenes sometimes that he can push those buttons in a variety of ways, so to speak. But at the same time, you know, we've also heard in the past the complaints of, oh, he burns the guys out so fast. And so far, I'd say Nashville has been the one stop where it doesn't look like just yet that he's really burnt the guys out. They still respond to him. They still, you know, go out there and whenever he calls things out in the media, you see a response from this team and their character and their ability to adjust to how they're being challenged. And so I know that there's been throughout the season, people, you know, once you got into the injuries time and then now here, especially lately, people have been calling for, hey, is this the right guy? And I would say that he is still the right guy. I mean, there's not been enough evidence to me to point to, okay, he does not know how to get it done for the Predators. With Barry Trotz, you know, at the time, it was can't even get a playoff road win, let alone win multiple series in the playoffs with Barry Trotz. And so that was the right move at the time to change there. And so now with Peter Laviolette, I mean, that's not the case. We've seen him take this team to a Stanley Cup final. It's just a matter of winning a Stanley Cup final. And then when you go back and if you ever rewatch that series, you want to talk about a series of games that were, you know, changed by just a couple of calls. I mean, New Orleans may have a petition out there, but I think the Nashville Predators fans could have had a petition as well if they really wanted to get down to it. And so, you know, he's gotten them as close as you can get. And there's no reason at this point for me to say that he couldn't continue on. So 600 wins, an incredible milestone, but I have a feeling there's many more to come with Nashville.
And you're absolutely right when you say that there's no evidence to point to him losing steam here as the Nashville Predators head coach. I mean, just last season, yes, it was a disappointing exit in a Game 7 of a second round, but the Nashville Predators were still the first time they ever won the Central Division and the President's Trophy win last year. Impressive things happening since Peter Laviolette has gotten here. The third-generation Nashville Predators team has advanced to where they were in the previous two generations. And while I always thought David Poile would leave the same time Barry Trotz would leave. That didn't happen, and now David Poile has helped lead this third-generation Preds team with Peter Laviolette through some of the most efficient contracts, salaries, drafts. A lot of great things have been happening for the Nashville Predators in the last few years, and I expect their window of opportunity to continue near here into the future. Brandon, one more thing I wanted to bring up with you, because we're not going to get to talk here for quite a while because the All-Star break and then, of course, the bye week. For the Nashville Predators, you know, most of the players, I want to see them go take a break. A couple I want to see look in the mirror and evaluate themselves going into the final 30 games of the season. But I ask you, do you have any homework assignments for anyone on the Nashville Predators team for the next week? They've got some time. I mean, Victor Arvidsson, he can go run around on the beach with all the piglets that he wants because he's performing as high level as anyone ever has in a Preds uniform on the offensive side of things. But what are your homework assignments for the next week for these Predators players since they won't be on the ice?
Well, I think for me, you know, the top line gets to just rest and recover. They've proven enough over the season that they know how to play when the bell rings. They know how to rise to the challenge. But honestly, I would say the rest of the team needs to really dig into what is their mentality going to be going down the stretch. How badly do they want this? I mean, success is a great thing, but at the same time, it can help your mentality be a little bit more fragile and a little less hungry, so to speak. And so, you know, over the years we've heard the Predators talk about different kind of mottos. They want to be like a dog on a bone work mentality. They want to be hungry like the wolf, you know, all these different mottos. And those are great mottos and slogans to have. But the reality is they take energy, they take effort, they take mental focus. And this particular season is the first one in quite a while where the Predators themselves, they just look like sometimes they're coasting and sometimes they're not as hungry as you might expect. So over this break, I want guys like, for instance, PK Subban to just try and do as little as possible and recover, because I do really still feel there's an injury there that he's playing through. And there's other players that are doing the same thing. And then I just want the rest of the team to really refocus mentally. What do we want from this season? Do we just want to be a middling playoff team that gets knocked out in the first or second round because we can't figure out our special teams and we can't figure out how to rebound when the other team scores first? Or do we want to be that team that really does strike fear in the opponent and find a way to get back at the Winnipeg Jets for the way they ended our incredible season last year? So honestly, I need the guys to just go rest and then reflect.
Excellent, Brandon. I appreciate you so much, and it has been a fantastic season to this point here on this radio show. I look forward to our 30-game sprint to the playoffs and finding out exactly where the Nashville Predators are going to end up. They win tonight. They keep putting that pressure on Winnipeg, and they can think about it while the Preds are off. If they lose tonight, they've still got an opportunity to go check everything out, come back for a 30-game stretch here at the end and make a run for the playoffs. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at Brandon_Felder, and you can hear him all season long right here in the third period of Predneck Nation Radio, the OG of hockey coverage when it comes to Nashville Predators talk here on Nashville Sports Radio, all the way back to the days of HockeyBuzz.com and Brandon's outstanding column that I used to just wait for and read all the time. Brandon, I'm going to miss you, my friend. Have a great week off, and you get some rest and recovery too, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Charlie. Looking forward to it. Everybody enjoy the game tonight. There's plenty of games ahead, but you still got to get through this one, and you want to end on a positive note. So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of a start the Predators get off to, because they need a good first period for the first time in a while.
Identical records tonight in Las Vegas. The Preds, 29 wins. The Vegas Golden Knights, 29 wins. 62 points for each team in their divisions, respectively. The Preds are in second place, just 2 points out of first place. In the Pacific, though, where Calgary has frankly gone a little nuts as of late, 8-1-1 in their last 10 on a three-game winning streak. They have 71 points. That puts Vegas in third in the Pacific and 9 points behind the Calgary Flames. We knew the Calgary Flames were a pretty good hockey team when the Preds went up against them a couple of times early in the season, but I don't think anyone predicted that they would be at 71 points as we head to the All-Star break. Overall, a light night in the NHL, but it's getaway night, so if you want to watch some pucks, here's your options outside of the Predators: Washington at Toronto, Arizona at Montreal, Minnesota's at Colorado, St. Louis is at Anaheim, and Carolina late night in Vancouver. Injuries for the Preds, of course, Turris is going to be out, still on IR. We'll get an update after the All-Star break. Salamaki, Ronaldo, both on IR, and we'll continue to celebrate Peter Laviolette's 600th win as the Preds head into the All-Star break. I just hope that he can take the All-Star break with 601 wins. All the Renegades of Puck were in the trench this morning. You heard from Mastrodoms. You heard from Felder. The Ultimate Predators got everybody all calmed down and fired up in the same promo. And well, me, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. What a hell of a first part of the season it has been here on Predneck Nation Radio. We've been grinding away shows live at 5 a.m. on game days, encore presentations at 6, in an on-demand world because you're incredibly busy. Of course, you can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes. Shows uploaded by 7 a.m. on all game days. We go ahead and cut it down just a little bit from the live show so that we could save you even more time in an on-demand world. We appreciate all your clicks, and we appreciate each and every one of you for listening. And remember, going into this All-Star break, if you've got the fire, you've got the fury, you've got the passion, jump on in this trench. I know for sure there are plenty more Renegades out there. It's just up to each and every one of us. Spread the word. Pass the message down the line. Bring those Renegades into the trench. We need everyone on the front lines for the final 30 games. And the front lines, they are everywhere. The Renegades of Puck are taking over. There is no doubt about it. So all of you Renegades, rest easy over the next couple of days. We've got a trench war to win. 30 games to go in the regular season after tonight. Nashville Predators look to stay in contention for the Central, and they look to make another run so that one day we can come out of that trench and have that parade down Broadway here in Smashville. I would love nothing more than to celebrate with each and every one of you Renegades out there getting a sunburn on Broadway sometime in late June. For each and every one of you Renegades of Puck, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio.